come on, Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
And of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 147 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, December 4th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about winning at home.
Holla!
And the Holla. Final frontier. In the studio with me, as always, is Mr. Keddy.
What up?
And across from me, Mr. Jai Midnight.
Hey, good evening.
So, how was your guys' week? No.
There was a week?
It was a week.
Holy man, it went quick.
There's only like two games.
Only two games this week, so it's so we got to fill time with like witty banter at some point here, talking about how great Christmas shopping was, putting up trees, going with something like that.
You guys put up trees yet?
The tree has made it up, but it is not decorated.
How do you put up the tree and not trim it at the same time?
You don't have enough time.
But you got jive time.
Because you're trying to get, everybody together to do it at the same time. And hasn't worked out yet.
Just wait till the kids get older.
My wife was disappointed in me this evening when I had to leave the house. And
it was your one opportunity to trim the tree.
No, it's going to be tomorrow night.
You're going to get home and the tree's going to be trimmed. You're no longer part Maybe. Of the. You're no longer part yeah, of the family.
I'm out of the family. Cutting ties.
Well,
we already did that, though, right?
It is that season,
Yeah. Divorce season.
I'm tired of spending time with my family part of the season,
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, I get the time of the season where I'm stuck in a church more often.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
Or for them. Or something.
I thought I saw some holes in your sock.
Yeah, I'm getting holy.
Getting holy.
Which is actually funny. So at a different church, we were loading in some gear, and they happened to have right where our van was, our truck, right behind it, was a hole. And I accidentally stepped in it. And it was like an ankle breaker type of a hole.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, dude, watch out for the hole. And dude I was with was like, yeah, he's like, there's a few. I was like, well, that makes sense. I mean, we're on holy ground, right?
Right.
And he's just like, oh, dude.
Did anybody hear about the holy ground over here in Oakdale?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's a holy highway.
Yeah.
Isn't that? I thought that sort of stuff happens in Florida.
Right.
not here.
Jesus, take me home, take the wheel.
So we got a sinkhole. Before you know it, we're going to have a giant tire fire.
Right. Was it last year, and was it on 694 where all of a sudden the road kind of came up and you saw the highway video of the cars?
We're
buckled?
Getting airborne. That was 36,
was
I think.
Was that 36?
Yeah, they get airborne.
But not too far from where that happened.
Not too far.
But all of a sudden it buckled, and before they could get in and actually like block off the lane.
That must have been on a hot day, right?
Yeah,
it was. All of a sudden you see like the freeway cam, like the highway cam, and a car just hits and just boom, like three in a row, like just airborne.
I mean, I feel bad for everyone that went through that, but it's the funniest damn video in the world.
Dukes of Hazzard style, right?
Yeehaw!
Right. I'm gonna get you balls out.
What was the dog's name?
Was it
just Hound Dog? No.
I just remember Enos.
Yeah, Enos and
Roscoe.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
And Daisy.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I had a picture of her from when I was a kid at one of the car shows with Catherine Bates.
Yeah. Right.
It was like, good time. And I think that was the same show that I got to sit in Kit from Knight Rider.
Now that would be pretty damn sweet.
Yeah. That's one of those things. Like, I mean, you don't have, like, those classic cars anymore on TV like you did back then. like the cars that made the show.
What are the kids of the future going to do? It's going to be like
Fast and the Furious. Pick
that's,
one.
That's a cool,
pick one. It will drive you there.
Yeah.
That's a cool classic Ford Taurus you got there.
Well, that's a cool Tesla that's driving you there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then not going above the speed limit.
Right. It's my new sports car.
Speaking of Tesla, did you hear about the dude who hooked up a bit mining computer in his Tesla charging? He's actually making money off of he's farming bitcoins off of it.
It's a nice loophole to exploit.
Exactly.
Anyway, I think we've talked enough about self-driving cars and
bitcoins.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Let's talk about the Wild Week here.
All right.
So the Wild finally get to play the Golden Showers. I mean Golden Knights.
Yes.
and the Wild win their first ever game against the against Las Vegas, facing former Wild players Alec Tuch, Eric Halla, as well as former Gopher Nate Schmidt.
Right.
We had goals by Granlund Brodin and two from Staal as the Wild win 4-2.
Did Zucker get a point in that game?
I believe he did. I think you got an assist on that.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And Staal has now scored against 31 different NHL
every he has scored against every NHL
that's
team.
That's pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know that all of them were the first time he ever faced that team.
No.
Like this time. Right. But His empty netter was actually, I felt it was kind of funny because it was just like,
yeah,
it was one of those pathetic empty netters where it's like,
well, if he someone was just has, fluttering it down there.
Really. But it was like, if someone had any sort of speed, they could have cut up to it. But, you know,
But the way that it went in the net, like, it was right in the middle, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good aim, too, from out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to him.
No,
I think
the officials gave it to him too as well. Yes. So
I gotta say, with Vegas, because I know a lot of our listeners right now, we've kind of met through Twitter. Vegas's Twitter, whoever's on their social media, is actually pretty funny and pretty pretty far
I've
out
seen
there.
I've seen their.
Feeds, I mean, they were throwing stuff out in the middle of the game, and you know, it was actually nice. It reminded me almost to the extent of how Dallas like trolls the other teams like in the arena, like on their scoreboard.
Yeah.
But they were pretty good. The only thing that bothers me about this, and maybe I don't know if it bothers you guys too, is on their Twitter page, they have proud member of the league's original 31.
Original 31.
I think there's been a lot more original teams than 31.
Yes. But they're the 31st franchise.
Has a
franchise folded?
A few.
Yeah.
Let's see. You'd have the Golden Seals.
Cleveland Barons.
Cleveland Barons. Atlanta twice.
Well, Atlanta moved.
But
the Barons folded into the North Stars.
Into the North Stars. Right. Yep.
So, I mean, they're definitely not the 31st.
Okay.
They are beyond the 31st.
However, you could make the argument that some of those were WHA teams.
This is true.
So their math might be not that far off, actually.
The Golden Seals, though, came along the same time as the North Stars did.
Right.
And then they moved to Cleveland.
Right.
And then they folded, but that was NHL.
That's only one folded team. So I think if you look back, they're... It could be close. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But then you'd also have the Wild that came up.
Well, you know, so...
Columbus.
So aside from their Twitter feed, what are your first impressions of the Vegas Knights?
Honestly...
Golden Knights.
Watching them play, and seeing what their record is and seeing a little bit here and there, I think they do have a hell of a team, honest.
It's a good
and I think they've clicked very well together.
Yeah, it's a good hockey team. I know it was mentioned when I was watching, you know, several times during the broadcast, but, you know, since there's been changes in the rules and things like that for, you know, the expansion draft and stuff, I mean, you don't really see an expansion team coming out like that. Like, and they played the Wild tight. I mean, that was
right.
a, Like, it wasn't a gimme game or anything like that.
They are also the highest, or they paid the most for an expansion team as well. Like, what True. Each team got
right.
for the players.
So, one of the points that I heard during the broadcast was that, you know, oh, they're an expansion team, so they shouldn't be very good, but they're coached really well. How much do you think it is coaching, or just the rules of the draft were set up so this team was basically going to succeed?
I think it was... I would.
Or is there some other extenuating circumstances causing this?
Well, I think how the draft was set up, they were basically set up to succeed. I was actually reading an article, I think, that Russo wrote about how Halla and Took made it to Las Vegas. And the GM for Vegas, I can't remember his name, basically said that Minnesota was one of the teams that... They had pretty much everything to lose. There is nobody that they could have given up that wouldn't have hurt the Wild. So, you know, he actually, you know, gave props to Fletcher about how he dealt with it. And, you know, Fletcher wanted to keep who he wanted to keep, which he did, and gave up, obviously, two players for it.
Right.
Yeah, and I would definitely say that the draft and the way the rules were configured probably benefited them, you know, fairly well. But, you know, then again, if you're looking to expand your league, you don't want your, you know, franchise teams to come out and just flop. Especially...
But that's the way it's been forever,
it
though.
It has. But especially when you're moving into, you know, a warm market like Vegas, and you're trying to, you know, get people excited about the game and things like that. Nobody likes to go watch their team lose. So
how much of it, though? I mean, I was thinking about this, and, you know, maybe what do you think of the mitigating factor being that so many teams were up against the cap, so you were destined to be seeing a lot of teams giving up really good players that were going to be cap impacts for them that they could. You know, that they basically were forced to give up.
Are you saying players are getting paid too much?
No, I'm definitely not saying that. I'm genuinely not saying that. I think players aren't paid enough. I'd rather have the players getting paid more and the owners getting paid less.
Absolutely.
You can call me a communist in that regard.
We're not going to a hockey game to watch the owners.
No, we're
not. We're going to a hockey game to watch the players.
I love watching Leopold sit up in the box and. I don't know.
What does he
do up there?
You know, I remember the last game I was up there sitting in the suite next to him. I got to watch him the whole game. Oh, wait. Never mind. That never happened.
That never happened. Yes. So.
I don't know.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
So how much of them succeeding is a factor of teams running up against the cap?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that had a lot to do with it. I mean, I think every team has their struggles. I know, you know, we talk about it often here about the, you know, being up against the cap and, you know, we can't hardly make a move because we got no space to add anything. But, you know, that said, those are the rules. It's the rules across the board for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the benefits of the salary cap is that you end up with, you know,
you get the parity.
You get a lot of teams. It's good competition out there. You don't get the one team that just walks away with everything. Every team that comes to the ice every night, whether you're the Kings or Buffalo, you've got a chance to win that night.
Right. So second game, which I believe was Saturday. Days all blur together.
Saturday. Yeah, when there's only two of them instead of four.
It's like there's not enough games for me to keep my attention. Wild win again. It's a full win week, I guess, if you want to go that way.
A win week.
Wild win 2-1 versus St. Louis in overtime. Wild get a rare 3-on-3 win. They get revenge from the previous Saturday. I think it was Saturday. Previous weekend against St. Louis.
I don't know if I classify that as revenge for that, though.
Hey, it's a win.
It's a win. in the end, it all looks the same.
Well, not really, because St. Louis still got another point.
This is true. Wild get goals from Suter and Dumba. Dumba's was in overtime. Notable moment from the Blues game was Sobotka getting a knee against, I want to say, Coyle was one of them, and I don't remember who the other one was.
Yeah, there was a couple.
He had a couple of them.
Yes.
Neither of them called, as well as a Wild penalty for face-off violation.
I heard that on the radio.
Yeah.
And so obviously, you know, we're all critics of the officiating, no pun intended. But do you think the NHL actually cares about these uncalled neon knees or any of these, you know, the high stick? You know, it's the same problem where we have a high stick that doesn't draw blood that could be an intentional hit and it's not called sometimes or maybe only 2 minutes versus the incidental thing that draws blood and that's a 4 minute.
Just because there's blood. There's
it
blood.
Happened to draw blood.
Or you could concuss a guy and not draw blood and only get 2 minutes.
Right.
I mean, what's more serious at that point?
I mean, should I just be at the point where I'm desensitized and just go, okay, this is what the league wants?
Aaron, can I jump on your question with this?
Go for it.
Real quick. And just to add on to that, I mean, is that just an archaic rule before, you know, a rule that was made before, you know, concussions were even well known about?
That's not even an old rule.
Oh, the blood with the 4 minutes?
Yeah. That's the blood part is not that old.
Yeah, that's very recent hockey.
How recent?
As far as hockey.
Since 2000s, the 2000s.
But it was still before they were doing a whole bunch of concussion protocol.
Yeah, but people knew what concussions were.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's not like concussions were just discovered. You know, CTE may have been, you know, unraveled around that point or sometime very shortly after. So CTE and the relationship to concussions may have not existed, but concussions have existed for a long time.
Well, concussions, I mean, known about.
It doesn't take a rocket surgeon to understand that you get a bunch of blows to the head over a lifetime, you're probably not going to end up very well. I mean, it's a tire joke with, you know, if you talk about boxers or...
Everybody's seen Muhammad Ali, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not a secret.
Really. No, it's not. I mean, it's an old joke. It's an old line. It's, you know...
And yeah, I guess, and as far as, you know, the officiating goes, number one, the call on the face-off violation, you know, I would tend to, and I might be a little bit biased, but, you know, I did see, you know, some movement out of the ref that was there to drop the puck, number one. But besides that point, at that point in the game, that became a very, you know, that could have been a huge deciding factor in the game, because I believe that one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was late in the third.
Yeah, it was late in the third.
Minutes left.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to make that call, I guess it's
my thought is, you know, if you're going to call that penalty, which, mm-hmm. I guess I can get it, you know, as a penalty.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it make sense to take the ref dropping the puck out of the picture then? Couldn't he just as well put the puck on the ice, set it there, mm-hmm. with the guys ready.
Old school, like gym class, say, like floor hockey.
Yeah.
And just one, go. Like do the stick tap. One, two, three.
You can go. Do that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
see?
I mean, you can do it a few different ways. So it's not a guy, you know, who one is going to call it and has to do the motion at the same time. You know, he's already biased. Yeah. So like
he starts to lift his hand.
Up.
Gotcha. Gotcha. It's like, you know.
You thought I was going to drop the puck.
It's like playing with your kids or like, you know, when you were a kid, you'd psych or tap the person next to you on their shoulder. You know, it's. But that's it. I mean, you did see both players, you know, they moved, their skates came across those lines. So, I mean, in that respect, it was a good call. But, you know, can we call a penalty on the refs for, like, a balk or something like that? I mean,
I can't disagree.
Kick the linesman out of the circle.
Yeah.
it was funny because I actually was listening to that on the radio at the time. And normally I'm trying to watch the games on TV, but there is something nice about actually listening to the game on the radio. You're getting a different perspective of what's going on.
Bob Kurtz.
Yeah.
I love Bob Kurtz.
Bob Kurtz is great, which, I mean, that makes it actually really good listening to it. Yeah. The fact that he still says moving right to left on your radio dial or left to right on your radio dial.
It's a beautiful thing.
It absolutely is. But
do you ever look down at your radio dials?
When anybody says it?
Yeah. You got dials?
I do actually have one. It's only a single dial, though.
My self-driving car just has one button.
Go to work. Go home.
Okay, Google, drive to work.
But they were...
I wonder if you're driving to work now. See?
they were actually really kind of like digging on the fact that they got penalized for that face-off infraction. They're like, you don't see it very often, but apparently we're getting one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you get a different perception of what's going on without seeing it. Because, I mean, you watch the games on TV and, you know, on FSN, you're hearing what our buddy LaPanta's saying, and you're seeing what's going on, and it's kind of jiving. No pun intended. But hearing it on the radio, I mean, all your eyes are actually what they're seeing, and I think they're being a little bit more descriptive on what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
So having that happen, it seemed like it was kind of a bogus call in general, but especially with Kurtz and his color guy, like, basically just ragging on the fact.
Mr. Tom Reed.
Is that who it was? Is Tom Reed?
It's normally Tom Reed. I don't know who it was.
I guess I didn't catch.
Yeah. I was watching TV, but...
But, and you had started this talking about the knee-on-knee hits, though, as well. And any hockey player that has had that happen to them, they know how cheap of a shot that is and how uncalled for it is and how neither of those got called. But then I think a little bit later on, Stewart kind of reacted.
Yeah, and then he got a
and then he gets the penalty for that.
Was that in the third as well?
Yep.
I think I had heard that also happening.
And now it is. It's just like my kids. I tell them, you know, it's whoever retaliates, that's who I'm going to end up catching. You're the one who's going to get in trouble, you know.
I'm getting Jive a linesman's sweater for Christmas. Referee jersey.
Right.
You can't do that!
Aaron, we'll go over there and we'll go make a penalty box at Jive's place for kids' timeout.
Hey, we could get three in the box over there.
No more going to timeout. You're going to the penalty box.
You're going to the box.
But no, those knee-on-knee hits.
Kids start spitting Gatorade in your house.
The knee-on-knee hits, those are cheap.
Yeah, they are.
And any hockey player out there is going to tell you, you know, it's not nobody wants to stand for that. Even a player on his team is not going to stand up for him after he, you know, did that to somebody. If you catch it right, you can end somebody's career. Your knees are in like a locked position, and you're pushing it in directions that it's not supposed to go. And, you know, luckily for both of our players, their skates came right up off the ice, so it makes a crazy looking hit, you know, where they're flipping through the air.
Right.
But, you know, it's those times when the skate doesn't come up off of the ice when there's no give.
Right.
And then you're in trouble. Yeah. So
no doubt. So from the better side of things, Dumba had a great two games. 3 points from Dumba over those past two. Are we starting to see him come up from the ashes? Are we starting to see the resurgence of Dumba, or are we just looking at a mirage at this point?
I don't think it's a mirage with Dumba, and I mean, I'm a supporter of Dumba. You guys know this already, but I think that, you know, he does have his streaks where he's good, where he's bad. But all in all, I think that he's, you know, definitely a bonus and a plus to the team. And you look at this now, it's when Dumba's, you know, playing up with Suter, since we've got Spurgeon out. I mean, you know, he's getting some playing time up there. You know, maybe it's not all Dumba. Maybe his, you know, defensive partners are also kind of leaving him out, hanging out to dry.
I did see our buddy Tony Dean had posted that Dumba should be up with Suter more often in his.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you put, if you want to pair an more offensive defenseman with someone,
yep,
put him with a really defensive defenseman. Well, I mean, that's like kind of a no-brainer, I think.
That kind of worked out with Spurgeon, too, when Spurgeon was paired with Suter. I think
offensive as well.
Dumba might be a little bit more aggressive or take a little bit more risks than what Spurgeon does, where Spurgeon's a little bit more cautious. Like, he'll definitely play offensively, but he is a little smarter. He's got a little bit more hockey sense where he knows when he needs to hang back more and not open up.
But you're not, some of those holes. You're not surprised to see Dumba down at the side of the net.
No.
Waiting to tap one in, you know.
I think preseason, I think that was something Boudreau was playing around with, was Dumba paired up with Suter. And, I mean, I think it could work out really well as long as Dumba doesn't take some of the stupid risks that he has been taking. And maybe some of those risks wouldn't have been nearly as bad had he been paired up with Suter. Like,
The risks aren't our problem. It's when you're taking risks and you fail. And that's when it's obvious that those risks were kind of not right times to make, make those.
That's also hindsight, too.
It is.
If you're never going to get anywhere without taking a risk, you know?
But if you see a guy fail over and over again doing the same thing, he's making poor decisions. Well,
Glad he has the confidence to continue on.
I mean, that goes back a couple of weeks where basically Boudreau benched him for almost the entire third period.
Yeah.
And was talking about benching him putting him up in the stands the next game and gave him a second shot. He came back and he actually played well.
Right.
And I don't think he's been nearly as bad as what he was that game that he got benched that third period. He's had moments, but almost every player on the Wild has.
He's been better since that really bad game a few weeks ago. Speaking of a lot better, also, Mr. Dubnyk has been playing a lot better since Stalock's. Well, both. It was basically a twofer: Stalock, Dubnyk, bad game, bad game.
Yeah.
Dubnyk over the last two games, only 3 goals against. Pretty damn good.
I think it also goes back to with the defense. I think everybody's been playing better. I think they've been playing tighter defense. I don't think they've been allowing. They've actually been pushing guys out of the crease more.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been just giving up that territory.
Well, and it's also, I think when you look at Dumba or Brodin, when they're playing poorly, they're not paying attention to where the puck is. They're caught out of position quite frequently. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've seen that over the last two games, and I think that's really shown. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys think. Do you think these last two wins, is that a product of Dubnyk playing better, or is that a product of the defense playing better, or maybe both?
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I would say a combination of both. You know, Dubnyk has had his times this year where he's been, you know, a little bit soft, I'll say. He'll let in some soft goals. But then he's had other times this year where he has been, you know, spectacular in moving across the front of the net and, you know, making a play that I wouldn't expect a tall guy like him to actually, you know, make. It's tough to get those big, long arms and legs moving. Ooh. You know. It's nice to have in the net, but, you know,
it's tougher to be a little agile and quick, you know.
Which is, and even the same, you know, in the game that Stalock was in that the Wild were blown out. I mean, you notice Boudreau pulled neither goalie in either of those games.
No.
So, obviously, he probably agrees that, you know, it wasn't all the fault of the goalies. I mean,
right.
There's six guys on the ice, and everybody needs to work together as a team to
right.
make sure you keep stuff other than that.
I think, I mean, especially looking at, like, this year compared to last year with Boudreaux's first year here, and even going back a year with would have been Yo at the beginning of this
Yo and season. Torchy.
Torch. I think you have a very emotional team this year where it's like when they're hot, they're riding it, but they hit that low point, and all of a sudden it's just kind of like a give-up attitude or give-up type of thing where, like, hey, we'll get three shutouts in a row, and then all of a sudden we'll have six goals against us three games in a row, whereas especially last year, it seemed to be more of a level-headed team, more on like the, okay, so we lost the game 4-3. Let's stick with this and kind of keep on the level and keep doing our thing, whereas it's very much of a roller coaster this season so far.
Yeah, I think I remember back to last year where we were talking, like, the losses were only coming in, like, one game here, one game there.
And not nearly
maybe
the
two
blowouts that they have been.
Way streakier this year.
Yeah,
I think it's... And maybe that's where Parise kind of came in and kind of kept everybody on a level head when he was around. You know, just like, hey, yeah, you know, keep it level. And, I mean, from what Parise was saying about Prosser coming back, about how he was good in the locker room, maybe that's enough just to have his presence around right now, too.
Right.
Even if he's not playing, just something to kind of level everybody out and not let the emotions take over. Like, hey, we're winning. We can keep doing this and then get blown out and, oh, we're not that good. Yep. Yeah.
Well, you know, kind of speaking of the Wild, we've made some changes here over the last week, so.
Should we get into the Wild cards?
Let's do that.
All right. A little bit of a slow week on the game front, where we only had two games, but there was plenty of other stuff going on. We had Kyle Quincy. He was placed on waivers. He did clear waivers, though, so
right.
He's playing down in the AHL now.
Ran a lot for him to play in Iowa.
Right.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But then, also off of the waivers, the Wild claimed Elk River native, right? What's his name?
Something.
Let's ask Mr. Derek Fels at Crease and Assist.
Nasser?
Who did he play for?
Yeah.
Elk where? Elk something?
Yeah.
Elk Lake?
Yeah.
Elk Lake? Elk Creek?
Moose Lake.
Elm Creek.
Elm Creek?
Elm River. Maybe yes. It was Elm River, yeah.
Deer something?
No, but anyways, we got Nate Prosser. He's back. The Wild swooped him up off of waivers from St. Louis. So, you know, they send Quincy down on waivers. Then they find out,
it was the same day, wasn't it, that they both went on waivers?
I don't know about Prosser, but
it might have been the day after. But so, are we going to miss Quincy being up here? I mean, you say we're paying a lot for him down in the AHL. Are we going to miss his performance up here?
I think we're going to have some questions come trade deadline on how, because I don't know. I haven't looked at cap friendly, so I don't know what our cap is looking like. Mm-hmm. But I got to imagine we were tight at the beginning of the season. I can only imagine that it's going to get tighter as things go on. Yeah. And we're going to have to make some moves somewhere to
free up some space.
So, and I have to imagine, and I know we got some questions on that. I got to imagine the Wild are looking to try to make a move somewhere to get a little bit of wiggle room for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and I guess myself personally, I haven't been, you know, overly impressed with Quincy's play, but, you know, based on his, you know,
I don't feel record, he's been that bad.
No, he hasn't been bad. I don't think that he's like, you know, if he's out there, he's going to, you know, he's causing our team to lose. I don't see that as a problem with him at all. And the numbers he's producing is, you know, pretty much what he's been doing over his
career. I mean, he had that major, and that was his last game he played in.
Yeah.
So maybe there was something with that that was a thing that just set things off, and that was enough for it.
Maybe.
Hey, so, Aaron, I know we try not to jump on the live chat very often, but an old friend of ours just asked us a question about how Colorado Avalanche are doing.
The Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah. You know? Oh, wait, just kidding. He only he doesn't watch basketball. What's up, Limey?
Yes. The Avalanche. But, yeah, they're rivals with us, but we won't be playing them for a little while.
No.
Thanks. So we've got Quincy down, Prosser's in. Prosser actually got into the game last Saturday. That was the last game,
right? Yep. Well, because, he didn't make – we had him for the Vegas game, but I don't think he was up here at that point.
Yeah. So, and part of the reason for, bringing him in, we've got Spurgeon, who is actually out. Supposedly for probably a couple of weeks here.
Yep.
He is currently got a problem with his groin, so hopefully we'll have him back soon. But we're heading out west, and we're going to need to have all hands on deck. So we'll definitely need some defensemen there.
Oh, so. Holy! Okay.
What? All right.
No, stuff happening and going. And
all right.
Ironically, I almost lost my computer there as well.
All right. And then a little bit of good news. Parisi, he is out there skating on ice. His first time back on the ice this last week since his back surgery.
Woo-woo.
Yep, so... hopefully we'll be seeing him back sooner rather than later, but it'll take him some time to get up to speed. Parisi, he's going to be working on, getting into playing condition, working his way back here. But upon his return, we've got forward lines that are, number one, Boudreau's kind of constantly juggling them around. And
yep.
Working to look to find some chemistry there and stuff, but how do you guys see these forward lines shaking out? Who's gonna, is Parisi gonna end up back in, with a spot in one of the top two lines? Is somebody gonna get pushed out? Maybe, like, will we see Cullen around still? Will we have, will we not be able to see any more of Eric Snack or Cunnin? We haven't heard from them for a while.
They're sitting down in Iowa, and I was looking at this before the game, and Cullen's numbers are, he's at the fewest points per game for any forward.
Yeah.
And he's only ahead of one defenseman, and that's Brodin. So, and that's per 60 minutes of ice time. So it's not even a matter of, well, he's getting less ice time. For the ice time he's getting, he's not scoring. And that's
right.
Goals or assists. And I think if you look at his 5-on-5, it's even worse. He's probably worse on the team, the worst on the team as far as 5-on-5 time goes.
So we got, what, two Minnesota natives right now? Prosser, Cullen.
Yeah, I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That... Minnesota natives have never done anything. Oh, Parisi.
Parisi, right. Well, he's not skating with the team right now. Yeah.
And I guess, but what I look at, though, with Cullen.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Oh, yeah.
he's been third, fourth line, basically, to this point in the season. And, you got to kind of also look at who he's getting paired up with.
They're scoring more than he is.
Maybe. It depends.
Or maybe they're scoring when they're not paired up.
When they're not on his line.
Which is even a worse indicator, actually.
Or is it that he, you know, doesn't have anybody solid down there to get used to? So, I mean, we know Cullen can produce.
We know he could produce, yeah, as in past tense.
Well, that's true. He's getting a little bit older.
He's, what, 41 now? I mean...
Hey, that's not old. That's not old.
It's old.
That's not old.
In NHL terms, that is geriatric. That is changing the diapers every few hours. Hey, old.
It's no longer just a young man's sport.
Yes, it is, actually, by definition.
Oh, no. Our bodies are getting, you know, stronger and stronger by every generation.
We are not talking about bionic Cullen here. You know, Robo Cullen.
Robo Cullen. There you go. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, and I don't know who, if you guys have any other, you know, thoughts on who might get pushed out. When I think about things like, somebody who's actually, he's got a couple more points than Cullen, but I feel that he often fails to provide much of a boost to the team is Winnick. You know, maybe we would look at moving somebody like that. I don't know. I definitely think there's options. I think Cullen is a well-liked guy around the locker room, so I think, you know, part of that's going to also go into play. So, all right. So then let's talk about the...
What do we got coming up?
The West Coast.
A little West Coast trip.
Yep. The Wild are heading out west. They're going to take on the Kings. The Kings currently sit at number one in the Pacific Division out there. So,
I think they kind of took over that after. I think it was that night that the Wild beat Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is.
Because Vegas lost down, and the Kings won that same night. Yeah. So I think that's what switched the roles around.
Yeah. Well, and it's only heightened because I think now they're down by, like, 4 points on the.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
They must have went on a bit of a losing streak.
I mean, it could have been one game. I mean, sure. Really. You know.
So, yeah, but they got the Kings. Which, you know, that's a tough team there. Then they're going to go in and they're going to play the Ducks, who they've been had their struggles this season, kind of probably similar to the Wild. And then into San Jose, which is never an easy stop. So
Burnsy.
Yep. We've got, you know, I think what I would call a tough West Coast trip. And, you know, I guess I'm hoping that we can come out of there with, you know, hopefully 4 points, you know.
Four total. Out of six?
Well, I guess I was thinking
four out two, of a possible six.
Because we're going up to Calgary, too, after that.
Ah, sure.
Sure.
That's next week. But
well, if we can get four, that's four on the road. That's a yeah. 500 road trip. Yeah. Know.
I would take that.
So. Right.
So, one thing to mention, though, here is I wanted to ask you guys who you guys think that we might see in net from the Kings.
I'm pretty sure I thought I read that it was going to be Quick.
It'll be Quick? Because Quick, so he currently, he's got a 9.30 goals against average. But our old boy, the Milkman, in eight games with the Kings, he's got a .944 goals against average. I think it's like a one. He's under two goals a game. Goals against.
The question is, who does that work out better for? If you put a goalie up against his old team, does he know the players' moves more than what's going to happen, or do the players know his style more how to score against him?
And let's be honest, the Wild have destroyed Quick over the past few years.
Yeah. They have.
I don't know if you remember, you know, I'm going to spitball and say it was 3 years ago where Quick lost in overtime and destroyed his stick on the side of the goal.
I remember that.
You know, so the Wild can have Quick's number, so it would be much more interesting if the Milkman was in the net. So
I think it's going to be Quick, though. I'm pretty sure that's what I had read earlier today, was that it sounded like they were playing Quick.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah.
All right.
We got some questions.
Yeah, that's about it for the Wild card. Let's get into the Twitter.
So at FanOnIt, formerly Uncanny Megan, Aaron, we were trying to figure this out earlier. And I think it was, is the Twins a sign from Zach? Like, the fact that he had
Twins? Read your question, then we can
Is the Twins a sign from Zach? My sister had 4 back surgeries before fusing the vertebrae. I love him, but could Zach be flagging his Mauer-like status?
So what we deduced is that we're talking about Zach having Twins being a connection to Mauer playing for the Twins and both of them being hobbled continuously.
Back
Megan, problems. You'll have to re-ask the question if we've interpreted this wrong, but I don't think we speak fluent Megan. So with that, yes.
They do speak jive, though.
oh man, where is our airplane sample?
I don't know where it is.
Excuse me, stewardess. I speak jive. So yes, I think it's obvious, you know, Zach having Twins.
You know what? You know, St. Paul boy, continuing problems. Wasn't Zach?
Zach's not St. Paul boy.
No. He was.
He's a cake eater, isn't he? Somewhere out that way.
Yeah. No, I thought he was one of the major cities. I thought it was Minneapolis or St. Paul.
No, he's not a city kid.
I don't know.
Well, he probably didn't play for a city.
Nope.
Well, actually, he wouldn't have played for Minneapolis. Well, he could have. Edison did. Would have he had a did. Team.
No.
All right, next question from Aaron Kelly at EB Kelly. Now what? Will Dumba come close to filling Spurgeon's skates? Can we expect 2 weeks or of more failure than success? I think we already kind of talked about this, but I don't think we really had any predictions. So, Jive, Dumba, better than Spurgeon or...
I wouldn't...
Plus, minus, or treading water. Let's put it that way.
I don't think that Dumba is an improvement over Spurgeon. I definitely don't think that it's taking away anything from Spurgeon's presence either. Number one, Spurgeon is a great defenseman. I mean, Spurgeon I really like because he's very good both ways. He can definitely help produce some offense, but you can always count on him defensively as well. Dumba, well, you know, I love his offense. Sometimes his defense does leave a little bit of something to be desired.
Sure.
But it's kind of a risk that I'm willing to take. Like, I think his upside offensively is a little bit more than Spurgeon's, but, you know, Spurgeon's
right.
A little bit better 2 ways. So I think it evens itself out, really. But I do think that, you know, Dumba matches up a little bit better with Suter's game. So,
yeah. Obviously, he's a different player than Spurgeon, so he's not going to be filling any shoes. He might be...
They might wear the same size skates.
Doubtful.
Yeah, Spurgeon is a pretty short
Boys guy. Size 9.
Boys size 9.
That actually... Oh, man, what player was it? Went to some skating rink. It professional. It was a... dude from Edmonton?
I thought you were going to say Tyler Ennis.
No. I think I can't remember who it was. Basically went out with his family to like a skating rink in New York, like at the, in Times Square or whatever. Is that where they have
Rockefeller.
Rockefeller Center.
Yep.
And he went up and he asked for the size skate and the lady asked what size shoe he wore. And she goes, no, you're wearing the wrong size skate. And here it's like one of the, man, I wish I could remember who it was. But he got like one of the speed skating. He's like one of the fastest skaters in the NHL, and she's trying to tell him that he's wearing the wrong size skates. Anyways.
All right.
So.
Next question. Yeah. It's coming in from Crease and Assist. 3 in the box. The Wild are on kind of a slow California road trip with at least a day or two between games. Yes, they are very well spaced out. What sort of team bonding activities would you recommend for the Minnesota Wild?
I got one. I think they need to take all their games that they've played previously, put them up on the TV, and then do the 3-in-the-box drinking game during the game and see who lasts the longest.
That's team bonding?
Well, until they start passing out.
Right.
Well, considering they'll be in the Bay Area for a day, I would highly recommend the Pacific Pinball Museum. Yeah,
some pinball.
You know, because... Or free gold watch if you want to go to the San Francisco proper. Great place.
Get a free gold watch?
You do not get free gold watch. What? But
what kind of a place is free gold watch if you can't get a free gold watch?
I know. I'm going to say pinball because, you know, of course I'm going to say pinball. What do you think?
Maybe they should go swim in the ocean and dodge some sharks.
Yeah, because... Maybe only a few.
He rimshotted himself there.
Well, better than rimjobbing himself.
It takes talent.
Oh, boy. Okay, next question.
From Crease and Assist. With the Winter Olympics coming up, how many NHLers do you think will bolt to participate, if any?
I don't think any will.
What about Ovechkin? You think Ovechkin will go?
I don't think so, actually, at this point.
No. I mean, this is where their paycheck is. As much as I'm sure all the teams would like, you know, or all the players, you know, would appreciate a chance to
represent. Play for their team, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's their job.
Well, I think the big problem is that you've got a problem with the IOC and the IHF, and I don't think...
Well, IOC uses IIHF rules and uses them.
But there's some kind of dodgy, creepy stuff that they had going on.
And then throw Gary Bettman in the mix.
And, well, he just makes things worse because he's then at odds with this creepy combination. So there's basically no winners. We're all losers. That's where I'm going to go with that.
We're all winners?
We're all wieners.
Or losers.
Wieners.
Oh, wieners.
We're all wieners.
We're all wieners. All right.
At least we started.
Aaron, you got a threefer.
We got a threefer. This is our little space-related block here. At least that's how we're terming it. From Crease and Assist, scientists have discovered another Earth-like planet 11 million light-years away. Will we witness humankind playing hockey outside of Earth in our lifetime? Well, I don't know how old you are or how old you plan on living until, but I'm going to say probably not, but if so, it'll be on Mars, because why not?
Well, Mars can support a hockey team.
And ice.
Yes.
Ooh, does that mean...
But can you get Zambonis on Mars? Oh. That's the real question.
You build one there.
Wait, can we have like a Space Jam type movie but with hockey instead? So instead of Michael Jordan, we've got like Wayne Gretzky from like 20 years ago.
You're not going to end up with
why not just take Sid the Kid from today?
Yeah, it'll be Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Cuz I don't want Sidney Crosby in anything else.
Alex Ovechkin? Space Shot. With Sidney Crosby playing against Marvin Martian.
Why did I even bring this up? This is just getting bad.
It's your own fault.
It's your own fault, man.
The nice thing is these levels are nice and low to the ground, so I can jump out of them and not really hurt myself.
Zambonis in space. I love the thought of that.
I bet the Mars rover, though, could probably be retrofitted to clear the ice.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Or remake the Martian, but have a hockey game there instead of like the whole potatoes. Sorry, spoiler alert, but no potato growing, just hockey.
Don't grow potatoes, just play hockey.
Our follow up question from at Puck Rocker. So, and if so, meaning if there was a Earth-like planet that could support hockey, what are the chances Gary Bettman puts an expansion team there?
All I can picture right now is, did you ever watch Futurama?
Have I seen episodes of Futurama?
They have all like these celebrities that are like their heads are in a jar, but right. The celebrity. All I can picture is Gary Bettman's head in a jar saying, yes, we're putting the team on this planet right now.
Well, of course he's going to put it on Mercury because that's the hottest planet. Oh. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right?
I would say that there's probably a 100% chance that Bettman would put a an expansion team there. But
and if there's a city called Atlanta on Mercury, even more so that they're gonna get another.
They're gonna
team.
Get a third chance,
right? So the other one wasn't hot enough. Let's put it on Mercury,
right?
You know where he's gonna put a team just because Uranus.
Okay, more space questions from Teresa Ferris at MN Soda 24. Which Star Trek captain would be the best hockey player? Also, which would make the best coach?
So, captain. Well,
let's start with hockey player. Best. What captain would be the best hockey player?
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most physical.
He is. He's like the dude.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty easy one. Unless you're going with Spock, when he would take over captain when Kirk was, like, debilitated on the planet surface.
Right.
You know?
What would you call for it if he did, like, the death grip on... Or the
Vulcan nerve pinch.
Nerve pinch? Yeah. If he did that to a player, would that be a two-minute or a five-minute?
Oh, it depends if he did it...
Is that just a holding call?
And maybe it's just a holding.
Yeah.
But the guy's out for the rest of the game.
See? That's worth the penalties,
yeah,
then.
Yeah,
just go straight for the best player.
Out, right, yeah.
Or is that a major? Oh. A game misconduct, yeah.
Well, did he take his glove off first? Did he drop a glove to do it? Would it be a fighting major?
Can you see Spock in the hockey gloves?
Okay, so the other part was...
Who'd make the best coach?
Best coach?
Picard.
Yeah, it's Picard.
Captain Picard is...
Later Picard, because Picard, early Picard, is kind of a dick. He gets a little better as the seasons go on. He wisens up.
Oh, so is that kind of like... what was his name that was with the Rangers and now Tortorella?
No, Tortorella's still a dick, so... From what I've heard, and I've heard people that have played in the same leagues with him, so... Anywho...
I would put a Klingon out there as my coach.
Ooh.
Ooh. So then you got, like, people. Worf out there? You got your security? You got Worf?
Yeah.
He'd be the enforcer.
But as a coach, I mean, you'd have a cutthroat coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a Borg coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Doesn't matter what...
But that's basically like a Finnish coach, because, you know...
No emotion.
No emotion.
Well, that would kind of be like Spock, though.
No.
Data?
Borg is different.
Well, I'm just talking no emotion.
Okay, I think we need to move on from this.
All right, next question comes in from MN Soda 24, Teresa Ferris. Three in the box. How much did you like the 2D-man, one forward lineup for OT? Also, how great was it that neither of those D-men were named Ryan Suter?
I will say this. I liked it because they scored and they won.
I do like that. That's a definite bonus. I think is that the first time that's happened for us this year?
Well, it's
an OT win.
I did like the fact that they made a point of it during the broadcast. They started with two D-men, so if they lost the face-off, they would at least be solid defensively, which is actually kind of a smart tactic.
Yeah.
The fact that neither of them were Suter, I think, is even better.
Well, you can't have a very defensive defenseman like Suter when you only have three players on the ice.
And a rather slow guy, you know. He
can glide pretty damn quick.
He can glide, but thing is he has endurance because he doesn't move fast, and he conserves his energy. Yeah. And that's not a slam on him. That's just the way he plays. Mm-hmm. But that... You can't get away with that in overtime.
Not when it's 3-on-3 and there's all that open ice.
No, you need some more offensive defensemen, and you know that's what we had out there, and that's what worked out.
Gosh, that's great.
All right, from Crease and Assist, Mr. Derek Felska, Minnesota Wild are trying to trade Kyle Quincy. If you are a GMCF, General Manager Chuck Fletcher, what would you take in exchange for Quincy? A used bag of pucks, perhaps, or $1 like Detroit gave for Chris Draper? I mean, hashtag 3ITB, hashtag let's make a deal.
I mean, at this point, he's making lots of money in Iowa, so you take whatever you can get for him.
Just to get him off your payroll.
Just to get him off your payroll.
And the follow-up to let's make a deal.
Yes, is if you were playing Let's Make a Deal. Oh, this is also from Teresa Ferris at MNSoda24. If you were playing Let's Make a Deal with the Wild, what would be more disappointing to win? Kyle Quincy or a rusted out jalopy? Hashtag door number three.
I would say a jalopy. I'm not going to bash on Quincy that much. I think that he's given us what would have been expected from him, basically.
I think we're expecting a little bit more.
I was expecting more from him. I was expecting a veteran player that was actually going to be a little bit more physical.
You look at his stats over the years, though. I mean, it's
he's had better years, but
much different. Yeah.
You know, not every reclamation project you grab off the bargain bin is going to turn out to be a stellar pick.
And it's a long season, so
right.
You know, you maybe he performs better later in the season. Who knows?
Yeah. And at least he's not a brain jackass behind the door, you know.
Right. Steps up for his teammates.
Yeah. I'm just thinking the same thing.
But, I mean, he does. He also stepped up for his teammates, you know.
True.
I don't think he's a bad guy to have on the team.
No.
So I'll take the rest of the jalopy.
As worse. As the lesser?
Yes.
All right. Jive.
Oh. Look at that. We move right along. Let's see here. From the fan on it, this is
Megan.
Okay, Megan.
Yep.
All right. Which players are on the nice list, and who is on the naughty list? How can they get off the naughty list?
You know, after this last week, I don't see... I think a lot of guys are working to get off of that naughty list. Right now, the nice list, I would say Stahl, Zucker.
Stahl, Zucker.
Nino. Yeah.
Nino, yep.
Would be three good ones.
I think Zucker.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean... You got a short list of good players.
That are continually good.
Yes.
And solid. Yep. And I would put that with Stahl, Zucker, Nino as of right now.
And right now, Stahl and Zucker are very close, both of them, to almost being point-per-game players.
Right.
Which is
That's a definite great. Nice list.
You know, that's definite nice list. As far as
definitely don't deserve coal in their stocking.
No. As far as naughty list goes,
Quincy.
Well, as of last week, like pretty much the whole team would have been on the naughty.
Yeah, it's right. True. Yeah,
you know,
I think we had this a little bit last year as well, where it's hard to pin the success and failure of a team on one player at this point, mm-hmm. because it hasn't been a single person has let us down
right.
consistently.
No.
You know, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's a
group effort to lose,
right? but it's
no. I'm not gonna fail today. Wait, no. You don't fail today. I'll fail for you. It's okay. I'll take one for
it. At least it hasn't been one guy that's just standing out, going, "Oh my God, why is this guy on the team? Right. We're overpaying for him, or he's costing us games night in and night out."
Yeah. That was Dumba for a minute.
Yeah.
For a minute,
yeah.
You know, and Brodin for a minute.
For a minute.
And you'd have...
You could make an argument, Dubnyk for a minute.
Dubnyk. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys that...
There's enough to go around.
Yeah.
Next question from Jay Bushy 19. Minnesota Wild play 10 games in the next 19 days. And his name is Jay Bushy 19. what do you feel they need to go over these 10 games to get a little... ground in the standings.
What was that last part there?
humongous big? That part? Oh.
Hockey fans are special.
Stop it. What do you feel they need to go over these 10 games to gain a little ground in the standings?
I think they need to keep on their defensive positioning and keeping their eye and giving whoever's in net space because we're going to see both Stalock and Dubnyk over the span. Make sure they have room so they can see the puck.
Keep the crease cleared.
Keep the crease cleared. That's what they need to do. That's
been tough this year.
Period.
That's been tough. Almost. It seems like every year it seems like a battle.
Yeah. And really, yeah, I'm hoping. And I don't know if he's asking for that or if he's asking, you know, how many games they need to win there. But, you know, like I said, on this West Coast trip, I would be happy, you know, coming away from there.
50%?
You know, yeah, at 500 on that.
Sure.
But, I mean, if we can go into even, you know, the beginning of next year, you know, and still be within striking distance, maybe a little bit, you know, slightly, you know, above, you know, 500 or 600, I think that we got a shot. We're within striking distance, and we got range to make a run down the stretch. Well, but
10 games in 19 days, I mean, you're basically looking like a day on, day off, which is not unheard of, not horrible.
No.
But it's also not great. I mean, it's better than some of these runs where we've had where it's been 2 games in, like, 8 days.
Right.
Or whatever. So, I mean, I think that might actually be good for him to actually continually keep him, like, in top performance rather than, you know, high, and then, like, just a big drought and low. So.
Well, it's also going to be interesting how they handle having Spurgeon out. You know, over that span, over a good chunk of that span, potentially.
Last question, Aaron.
Last question from at MN Frosty Boy, Mr. Chris Frost. Prosser, he's like a zombie you can't kill. Can we be friends with zombies? Appreciate their worth? Maybe even cough, love them a little bit? So Prosser, the zombie from Elm River.
Elm River. I thought it was Deer Creek.
An Elm River zombie down by the Deer Creek.
You know, third time's a charm, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, this is the second time we've picked him up off of waivers from St. Louis, right?
We're both times from St. Louis?
Yeah. This is the first time he's played with at least a game with St. Louis. So.
Does that mean he's kind of like Tom Sawyer up and down the Mississippi River?
Wait, New Orleans getting a hockey team next?
Hey, you never know.
Well, if they do, Prosser will be their starting defenseman on game one.
They'll name New Orleans Levies?
No, they'll name him New Orleans Jazz and then move him to Utah.
Right.
I thought you were going to say the New Orleans Elm Rivers. Name it after Elm River's finest.
Right.
Sorry, Derek.
Yes, love your zombies.
Okay, so yes, we love zombies here. I think that's it. That's Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Actually, not too far. I won't even go there with Elk River.
Yeah. We're not listening to you anymore. Just tell them where to find you.
Nostrakenius. At Nostrakenius.
Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
Twitter, I think. Yeah, Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at AngryFinn. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. Got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We'll probably read them on the show. Listen to our podcast, our website, 3inTheBox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. Thanks, everyone. That's the show. All right.
Woo!